In what situations would you consider watch and wait? And in a patient you want to treat, specifically this patient, how would you sort through the options?
Let me just say that the largest lesion, so the three dominant ones grew 5 to 7. Others, minimal change. Some actually looks completely stable, and some were calcified, so you wonder, are they really cancerous or not? But the largest was a right upper lobe lesion that now was 1.5 centimeters.
I mean, for a lot of these patients, the most difficult conversation, but I think that the most important conversation at the beginning really is the conversation of waiting a little bit. There's very little data that starting with any of these VEGF or mTOR-targeted agents, that starting, quote, earlier has a survival benefit versus starting later. So I think it's very important for patients to understand that these drugs, although oral, have real toxicities. And we like to talk about targeted agents, but I'm not convinced that these targeted agents have any less toxicity than our, quote, cytotoxic agents, and often typically have more. So I think that patients have to understand that, and they have to understand that sometimes these diseases can be very indolent and grow very slowly. And if they're asymptomatic, I'm not going to make them feel any better with one of the agents, and it's not clear that I'm going to necessarily make them live longer.
So how about watch and wait in this lady, and how about watch and wait in this lady if she'd had no change on her scan?
I think in either case, I think I would watch and wait. And the other thing that I would do, especially if she's young and in good shape, no cardiopulmonary problems, this is also the time to start thinking about high-dose IL-2. It remains one of, our only, curative therapies or potentially curative therapies. It's not for everybody, not everyone chooses it, but I think this is the time to consider it.
If she were willing to consider it, would you go ahead and send her at this point or watch her?
I would send her at this point.
Dr. McDermott, how would you think through this case?
Similar thoughts to Walt. I think it's a hard conversation to have with a patient who's got growing lesions that they should wait, although you can make an argument that if you're going the targeted therapy route, the VEGF-TOR therapy direction, by starting therapy, you're just starting the clock to when they're eventually going to become resistant. And if the goal is to help them to live as long as possible with a good quality of life, observation makes a lot of sense. The only two areas where we don't recommend observation off the top are, one, if they're interested in immune therapy, and we certainly have a bias, some would say too much of a bias, towards immune therapies and IL-2, because as Walt mentioned, there's a small but real chance of a remission of their cancer. They might do better when they have less disease burden, so that would be a reason to start sooner. The other reason to start sooner, if they were interested in clinical trials, particularly immune therapy clinical trials, and Bob mentioned a couple earlier with vaccine approaches that are interesting, not yet proven, obviously. We have a similar small trial at our place. Those are the types of things we would talk to people about early on. But in the case of the vaccine trials, you have to have that conversation before you take the tumor out of the patient.
Dr. Motzer?
My tendency is to try and hold off as long as possible before I start targeted therapy, so that patients who are asymptomatic with small volume pulmonary disease, I tend to advocate surveillance. But I think that it's a personal decision. The patient has option. Some patients, they prefer to avoid medication for as long as possible. They're concerned that it's going to interfere with their lifestyle. So for those patients, they accept that approach. On the other hand, there's some patients who, when they're diagnosed with metastatic cancer, they want to take a very proactive approach and start medication immediately. So I think that part of it is an individual decision by the patient.
But just to be clear, in this patient where, even though it wasn't very major progression, you could see progression in 6 weeks, you would watch her?
I think that this patient kind of falls right on the fence. I think that they're asymptomatic pulmonary disease, but you're correct, it's progressing. So this patient, if I was to advocate surveillance, I would probably tell them to follow up with one more CT scan, and if it continues to show progression, then that's the time to start systemic therapy. And I think that also often gives the patient some time to kind of accept this and accept the approach that they are going to be starting a systemic therapy for their cancer.
Dr. Figlin.
So I agree with most of that. I would take a bit of a different approach. I mean, I would do exactly what Tom has done, and that's repeat the scans for baseline post-cytoreductive nephrectomy. What I would be looking for would be looking for stable disease to make a watch-and-wait approach. With Furman grade 2, I actually would have expected a stable disease 6 to 8 weeks later because they tend to grow more indolently. I'm a bit surprised that even with a Furman grade 2, this person has a 5 to 7 millimeter growth.